A very good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Very good morning, Namibia. Good morning to you, my dear listener. Our time is about 32 minutes, 33 minutes past the hour of 7. And thanks, David, and for the early morning scoop, and also for really teasing out, what NDP 6 is, it's all about. I think we will continue on that, on the same line. Welcome to Eagle FM. So if you're just joining us, if you just, just come on, so welcome to Eagle FM. And if you have been here, thanks for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company this morning. It's always, as I always said, it is our pleasure to make sure. It's always our pleasure to be in your company. And welcome. How is your morning so far, wherever you find yourself in this beautiful land of the brave? It's funny. It's looked like, it's honestly, when it comes to now the weather, you see, it's really funny, funny and strange, because it says it was only how many few weeks, not even few days actually, where you felt it was a bit cold, and now it's absolutely, this is not winter anymore. Winter for us, especially in the north, I must say here, especially in the north, it has been only about a week or two. No, seriously, there was only some few weeks ago, when it was really, really cold. Not really, really cold as well, but it was just a bit cold. And that's it. And it's really, and it's hot. Well, in the morning now, still a bit cool and all that, but during the day, it's absolutely like you are. And if it's like this at this time, I can tell you, in summer, it's gonna be hell. If we die, those who are going to hell, we shouldn't go to hell anymore, because we have already endured hell here. Good morning, and welcome to Eagle FM. I hope where you are, it's still winter. I think we say it's winter, but it's actually not winter at all, especially on this side of the world. It's absolutely hot. All right, so welcome. And today is the 22nd of July, the year 2025. So let's get to our segment on this day in Africa. So what happened on this day in Africa? So on the 22nd July in 1994, a group of a group of Gambian soldiers led by Lieutenant Yahya Jammeh launched a coup that overthrew President Dawa. No, President Dada Jawara. So ending the Gambian longest-standing democratic government. So in Eastern Africa, I don't know what is within Eastern Africa. There's always coup d'etat in those countries. So now they dissolve their constitution and installed Jammeh, who ruled for about 22 years. The event is commemorated as a Revolutionary Day in Gambia. So there are always coup d'etat in West Africa, in East, yeah, West Africa. It's quite common. So, and on the 22nd of July, in 1985, the anti-apartheid leader Oliver Tambo delivered a powerful radio broadcasting on Radio Freedom. So he urged mass resistance across racial lines, to dismantle apartheid, and called for making South Africa, they call that, let's have it, let's make South Africa ungovernable, to dismantle white minority rule. So he has done that on the 22nd of July, 1985. Oliver Tambo. And then today is the birth of, it's the birthday of, King Sobhuza II of Eswatini. July the 22nd is also remembered in Eswatini, formerly Swaziland, as the birthday of the late King, Sobhuza II. Is an iconic figure in Swaziland history who reigned for over 8 years. So this king reigned for over 8 years. One of the longest reign actually of any monarch in the world. 8 years. Whoa. Imagine if he was not a really good king. So you have to endure generation after generations, you know. So, and if we can look at the, though, outside a political, outside of a political or social context, the 22nd July 2012 was a remarkable day, actually, in South Africa's sport. So what happened? We had Hashim Amla became actually the first South African cricketer ever to score a triple century in a test cricket. So, and on the very same day, Ernie Els won the British Open, Golf Championship, and that further cementing African success on the global stage in global sport. So, well, that's all we have in this segment on this day. In Africa, those are some of the significant events that happened today in history of Africa. So today is Tuesday, July the 22nd. What is the thought for the day? What is our thought for the day? So sorrow may sadden your face, but it sharpens your understanding. Sorrow may sadden your face, but it sharpens your understanding. Well, this proverb suggests that sorrow, like mourning or difficulty, often leads to introspection and spiritual growth. So while laughter may seem uplifting, sorrow encourages deeper reflection and wisdom. So the face may look sad, but the heart grow wiser. So the sadness we experience can refine our character and deepen our understanding. So the proverb implies that in embracing sorrow honestly, we create space for growth, reflection, and a lasting insight, because painful experiences often teach more than actually joyful ones. So sorrow may sadden your face, but it sharpens your understanding. Hopefully, during the course of the day, you will be able to discern that and not let yourself being overwhelmed by sorrow, but understanding that it's actually refine your character and deepening your understanding. So sorrow may sadden your face, but it sharpens your understandings. That's our thought for the day. So, and a very good morning to you. So, my name is Mike Oshovedi, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economic, and politics. Every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty, and always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the view shared during our segment do not necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark meaningful conversations so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. Very good morning to you if you're just joining us. Well, stay connected with Eagle FM anywhere, anytime. So wherever you are, you can listen to Eagle FM through Eagle FM website and also through Eagle FM mobile app. So if you are in the area that that the frequency is not, it's not available yet, so Eagle FM mobile app can be your place to be. So can be your best options. So you can download it. You know, you can download Eagle FM mobile app through Google Play and also Play Store. And as I always said, if you're someone young, there's also a chance where you can see some of the we post there, some vacancies as well there. So, and we're also preparing for regional, you know, elections. So political parties, manifestos, they're also there just for you to make sure that what are these people are promising as we go through the end, some of the things of the president have said. So understand what your political stand for. As David was said, we don't read. David Sewers earlier that said, we don't, young people, not only young people, actually, Namibian, we don't read. We don't read at all. So let's start. You can't get involved in discussions, if you're not informed, you know? And, sometimes, like when we tease out, when we digest things here, it's to help you also, you know, to understand what is the directions, where are people going. we want to hold you in your arm, we want to hold you in your hands and take you along. That's why we give you this, so we always have to, you know, go deeper. I think it's our responsibility to go deeper, look for information, and here on unpacking we it's our responsibility to ask questions. So that's what we do, ask questions. So make sure that you download the Eagle FM app and the Eagle FM mobile app so that you can be able to follow your favorite show and the updates that are there. So, and please do follow Eagle FM and The Villager on our platform, on our social media platform. So on X, on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on Facebook, Telegram, and WhatsApp channels. So, engage with us. Okay? Engage with us on these social media platforms. Make sure that you leave a comment there and you leave a like or a love signs. So do that and engage with us because we want to hear from you as well. Be part of the family, be part of the community, and share with us what you think. So, and also what is actually going around your community. So, if you share that with us, remember there are so many people that actually come to our social media platforms that actually, you know, come to Eagle FM, you know, social media platform. So if you leave your comment there, you know, they would know what is actually going on in your community and in your area. So, and if you are looking for the latest business and economic news, so, well, make sure that you subscribe, make sure that you subscribe to The Villager. So get yourself, so that you get yourself a free copy of The Villager, which is published every Monday, Wednesday and Friday, Monday, Wednesday and Friday. So what you need to do is just send a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081 2414 081 241 44, and I can guarantee you will get your villager the e-newspaper every Monday, Wednesday and Fridays. Well, and if you are, you know, if you're a business person or you just want to advertise your event or your function or your workshop or your conference, whatever that be, and sometimes maybe you want it, you want a real time exposure via live streaming or broadcasting, so then do this. Contact this number, 083-288-400. 083-288-400. So once you do that, you will be smiling all the way, you know. All right. So today on the show, we're probably going to look at the president's vision for the next 5 years through the NDP 6. And we also looking at we're going to also look at the African Development Bank report that is actually focusing on Namibia's physical the physical risk. And if we have time, we will also examine why Namibia ranks 6 on Nubia's crime index. We're going to look at that as well if we have time. So, well, we also expect you to take part on the program and have your say, have your contribution, have your, you know, your opinion and perspective and whatever you want to say heard. So this is the platform, and well, stay tuned. We will be back.
Great news. IMPA just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMPA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMPA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMPA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, this is Eagle FM, and if you just are joining us, welcome. Welcome on board. And our time is about 51 minutes past the hour of 7. And you are on Unpacking the Day. So I will be with you until the hour of 9:30 this morning. So, well, welcome to Unpacking the Day. So where we cut through the noise just to get to the heart of the matter. Now, yesterday, President Nandi Ndaitwa, Ndempelila Nandi Ndaitwa, laid out her vision for the next 5 years through NDP 6. So hopefully you have seen the document. It's quite thick. It's quite actually, but a lot. It's got, so we really gonna get time, to get people, really dissect some of the, everybody just getting it now. So we give some other people time to go through and really study it and be able to engage us of what is this NDP, the vision, to just engage us on the vision of the NDP6. So, but we're going to look at what the president has been said yesterday, and just if you didn't get a time, maybe to listen to what he said. Maybe you were working, you couldn't tune in, you were so busy, or whatever the case may be. So it's our responsibility to sit and listen and come and tell you what happened. So, yes, so this is a vision for the next 5 years through NDP6, and also yesterday was also telling us what her team has been up to since March 2025. So the president's plan is actually built on two big ideas. I see it in that way. So it's built on two big ideas. Those two big ideas is like there's 7 priority sectors for our communities. That's what is that we're going to do, all right? So what is that we're going to do? 7 priority sectors, you know, for the country or for the community. We're talking now in terms of decentralizing for our communities. This is what we are going to do in our communities. And then there's that 8 economic enablers. So the economic enablers are, it's to power our growth. This is now something that is actually how that powering, you know, our growth. It's like the fuel, you know, this is the fuel that you put into this. This is what we're going to put it. This is what you're going to use. It's kind of like, this is what we're going to use actually now to power our growth, to get where we want to go. So, yeah. So there are a couple of things the president says. I'm just going to look at probably priority sectors and the economic enablers. And I'm not going to go deep. Just looking at some of the things the president have said, where are we going? Just simplify that. So where are we going? So what is our vision? The area of focus. What are the area of focus? You probably have had this already from the very beginning, from her inauguration speech. It's the same things, but now here there's a little bit of flesh on it. You know, here there's a little bit of flesh on it. They have been 3 months now the administration has been working for 3 months already. So there is a little bit of flesh on it. So we're looking at each of the priority sectors, but now there's some flesh on it. What have they done in that particular sector? Okay, in that priority sector. So anything the president have done, anything the ministers have done, anything the administrators have done. So that's what we're looking at a little bit, you know. So this kind of like the presidency reporting back now to the public and said, this is for the 3 months, this is what we have done. We set out, these are our priority sectors that we set out. And these are the things that we have done in 3 months. Okay, so whether you agree with them or not. So that's are the things that we have done in these 3 months. The first up is the agriculture. So the president say all nine green schemes. So those nine green schemes is covering about 5,600 hectares are running. The president said they are running. Well, you know, when an adult is talking, and I don't want to say, and the person is lying, you don't want to say he's lying. So, and it's not what I'm saying here. So when she said that all nine green schemes are running, so when it comes to really from the information on the ground. Not all nine, schemes are actually running, up and running. So from the information from the ground, it's not that all of them are actually running. But let's take the president's words. So maybe those who are giving her information, saying everything's not all of them are running. So with over 3,400 hectares under cultivation. So this is when I referenced that not all of them actually started cultivating already. So they have produced nearly. This is now with the president. I'm just kind of looking at what the president said. They have produced nearly 10,000 tons of maize, 300 tons of potatoes, and 39 tons of sunflowers. So, you know, this is just what the president is reporting during the reporting period. So she also said the new site, there's a new site for green schemes that are planned or popping up in Zambezi and also in Hangwena. And a dairy farm is also being set up in Kavango East. So those are some of the things that are expected to happen. Plus, 8,305 hectares in Omaheke were bought for resettlement. So basically, that's on agriculture, reporting on agriculture, a priority sector. So, well, it sounds like a push for food security, and definitely that's the whole idea. Here's the thing, and we're going to look at that after this commercial break. So, stay tuned.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
And Eagle FM, you know, the I, we are about you as well. All right, so now, as I said, food security has been really the goal. If you look in Vision 2030, that's the goal. And we have several development plans that were to actually, you know, contribute to that vision. So Namibia has been talking about green schemes for years. We've been talking about green scheme for years. Remember NDP4? So you remember NDP4? You remember NDP5? What were they were all about? And what, during whose time actually, the NDP4, NDP5, during whose time, who was the president by then in NDP4, NDP5? They promised similar things. And we're still actually importing. We're still importing tons of food. Eh? We're still importing a lot. Much of our food that we consume come from outside. Now, the question is, and this is something, seriously, this is something that we should ask. There's a good momentum. We can acknowledge that. There's a good momentum that seemed to be, even yesterday when we listen to some of the president was saying, that's a good momentum, and we have to acknowledge that. So, but will these new schemes really deliver? What would be different? Because when you look at, as I said, we were all going to get a time actually to go into the NDP6 and really just scrutinize. So if we now want to develop food security, so what is the strategies? I know there are strategies, but many of them I have gone through already a little bit. Just look through that. But much of those strategies don't, they are not specific enough. So maybe they would be still actually develop, those strategies will be, they will still actually develop the activities like, okay, now with these strategies, what is exactly it's going, what is exactly going to do? Who, what are we going to do? Who is going to do what? That is not in there. And I can guarantee you, that's not in there. So will these new schemes really deliver? Or are we just replanting old promises? Are we replanting old promises? So those are just questions for you to think. And as I said, this is not a new thing. We're not actually... if you look at, as I said, check your NDP 4, check your NDP 5. They promise the very same thing. Where are we? Eh? We're still importing tons of food from outside. So, but let's for now, it's also nice for now really to say, okay, we had enough. Just as the president said, we had enough. Let's do something. So let's also said we had enough. Yeah. Yeah. So the next thing the president also talked about is sport. So the government is identified 16 sites for sport, for sport centers of excellence across all 14 regions. So they are building the CAF category 2 and 3 stadium in Enana and Kurenkuru and what is the other one? Mariental. So, and refurbished the facilities for the Region 5 Youth Games as well. Creating about 955 temporary jobs. Now, well, these are good news, really, really good news for the youth and also local pride. You know, if we have people from those areas participating in actually building these facilities, you know, you feel proud. You feel be part of the community. So now, but stadium are only half of the story. You know, stadiums are just only half of the story. It's not the full story. So, where is the plan for the let's say, for example, a grassroots coaching, for example, coaching program? So, where is the school sport program? So, now, these are just some questions that we need to think of. Without those programs as well in place, so we're just actually building empty fields. So who's going to be using it? So there must be another plan that really goes with the stadiums and centers that we're building. So the reasons why we're asking this question is that because we don't see that. So you can argue and say, well, people cannot... Yes, those facilities, which are very important, you know, it's not like, oh, why are they building this? No, these are very important. But we said that's just half of the story. So otherwise you put up the building, like many other things. We put up the building that actually become, you know, what is that? Ghost, you know. That I never used before. For in many sectors, in different sectors, there are certain builders that are set up and they never been used for years. Eh? So that's when you know, there must be also, you know, those grassroots, when you're putting up now this facility, there must be also those grassroots, you know, programs, whether it's school sport program, whether it's, you know, any other activities that now, you know, that being now facility, that being now supported by these facilities. So you can't have the facility without the programs that are going on. So yeah, that's very important. So otherwise, as I said, otherwise we are just, you know, building empty fields. That would be then a waste of money because nobody's using it. Nobody's using it because there are no programs that actually need to use that facility. So it has to be really holistic. It's not just any facility that you put up there and years later, you know, certain things, because it's not being used, people comes and vandalize it, steal stuff, steal materials. You know, it does happen. All right? So, and then youth empowerment, it gets a lot of airtime. Yeah. So the National Youth Fund with 257 million Namibian dollars is set to roll out in August 2025, this year already, offering, this one will be offering loans. These are not my words, please. Offering loans through banks, maybe a bank like Agribank. And over 200 youth-led business got equipment. 734 internship were also facilitated. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Mike.
Yeah, good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Good, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let me, my take on those things, man.
Yeah.
Is that, should we now stop building the facilities that people are crying for when our players are going to play in South Africa? Should we now abandon the construction of those fields, say sports fields that you are talking about, just because maybe, like I know there are programs for coach. My brother is a coach.
Yeah.
And recently they will be going with a, so they were in Windhoek there. And they are here in the rural area here.
Yeah.
So maybe what we can do as a community, as Pigeon. Yesterday we were talking about that reciprocal kind of relationship. That today's Pigeon have the responsibility to engage in civic education, perhaps, because I was even reading a very disturbing news yesterday where somebody is a honorable threatening the business, the community, and all these other things. And when you look at these people who are saying they are also business people, what does he sell if he's a businessman?
Yeah.
Does he sell a nyandi? Does he sell a embe? Does he organize the people to maybe the youth if he want to create employment? Because my fear is that he's going to destabilize. You know those people who were retrenched before election and when people are campaigning?
Yeah.
So now, and you are threatening these people where you are actually buying those products which you are selling. You are not even now saying that maybe you are bringing a nyandi, you are going to correct a nyandi and the embe and things are all local.
Yeah.
So, now you are selling cement in your business because of them. I mean, is that not, I think that may also lead to treason.
Yeah.
That may lead to incitement. I think people are taking advantage of our peace here.
Yeah, no, definitely. One have to be very careful about that.
They are really taking advantage of our peace here. And we don't want to our people and all these things to be running around like what they do with their insurgents. And that's what the president was actually cautioning.
Yeah.
So now I understand there are no employment, there are no these things. And what I'm saying is that if you are threatening now to cross the area where people are getting their bread, and you are not even producing any alternatives.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you are a businessman selling the same product that you are getting from these people that you want to threaten.
Yeah.
Hey, what kind of singing is that one? Or you just want to incite violence?
Yeah,
is
so,
that what you are, I just want to incite violence. Is that what we are getting from you as a honorable parliamentarian?
Yeah.
From the rule of law, we do what now?
Yeah, no, the good thing about Namibia is that we exactly as you said, rule of law, we have the rule of law, and if you out of the law, so the law will will catch up with you.
Especially when you are threatening, you are inciting violence.
Yeah, so
and then that amounts to what?
Yeah, as you know, as I said, if it's something that seen as an incitement, definitely.
So
now
we want to construct the facilities, sport facilities. When we construct those things, remember that this Miss Pageant Namibia, it took place in in all these things.
Yeah.
And we are talking about rural, urban, rural migration, that kind of development concept. And we know development starts from the bottom here. And this is the periphery. If you have got people here. So despite the fact that we don't have those programs that you are talking about, the coaching and all these other things, and they are actually in place.
Yeah.
So if we build the facility here, for example, at Ongenga there and all these things, and these people are there playing soccer, and all these codes, the schools are there, and everything, and people are creating employment. Yesterday I met one of the international coach, our national coach here, who has been doing those things, and we were impacting the soccer players in the same team, members 11. And then also, and people are really working, and they are even talking about some events taking place, going to take place somewhere in Enana, putting this, the other thing, all these kind of things. We want to incorporate all these activities so that to make sure that it, so please come up, you people, come up with some program to train the coach, to volunteer yourself, and then now put up and help the to revive the structure that are there, whether it's green scheme and all these things. So all my concern is that if you are now trying to threaten the areas where there's the potential to create employment for the people, and this is where you are getting also your bread. Now you don't want other people to get bread from there because you are getting bread from there. Because if you are telling me that you are selling a nyandi, you are selling a embe, you are producing those things, this is your business, then I will understand.
Yeah.
But if you are saying now you are a businessman, but you are selling cement which you are getting from the Chinese that you want to threaten, what kind of thing is that one? Well, you just want to create chaos for the country.
Mm.
So let me end up there, my friend.
All right, no, thank you for coming through, Angebona. All right. Great.
Mm. All right. We have to be watchdog. You know, what referred to as a watchdog? Well, I think we. Every citizen have to be a watchdog. So never, as yesterday I said, let's celebrate the wins. If we successfully do something, if we have achieved something, let's celebrate that. Let's praise the people who actually doing something, you know. Let's celebrate our wins. If someone is really doing great and we see that, let's praise it. Okay? So, but let's also, as I said, let questions, let's hold accountable, let's be watchdog of our government, you know. And as I said earlier on, remember the NDP 4, the NDP 5, promises the same thing, but where are we? It's because someone, you know, and this, it doesn't really necessarily mean, well, we always said the president, because the president is the leader of the, is the head of the government, is the head of the country. So, all everything points to him or to her. So, yeah. So, but he said, we said, look at where we are at this point in time. We're only 5 years to an industrialized country that we dream of. That was our vision 2030. 5 years to that. And we are far, far, far behind, far from what we have visioned. But there could be a good reasons why we are. So, and this is what now we're doing now is like, okay, let's have a realistic, it's okay to have the vision, but also let's have our feet on the ground. Okay? Let's not just, you know, say, this is what we're going to do, this and this and this. Yes, let's have a vision, but let's also have our feet on the ground and move realistically. That's the only way we can get there. So if we can move realistically, okay, given where we are. So, yes, we were talking about youth empowerment. The president talked about youth empowerment, which she is very passionate about, especially when it comes to youth. So, and as I said, there's a fund, National Youth Fund, with 257 million Namibian dollars so far, and is set to roll out in August 2025. That's just the coming month. So to be offering loans through banks, maybe like Agribank, and over 200 youth-led business got equipment, and 734 internship were facilitated. So that's good to see. That's a start, you know, something that you, so you can see that's a start in the right direction. And also then to have to think with unemployment at 46%, you know, youth unemployment at 46%, over 46%, according to 2023 stats from the Namibian Statistic Agency. So that's actually feel like a drop in the bucket, in a bigger bucket, the drop in the ocean. So they don't say the drop in the bucket. It's a drop in the bigger oceans. So as I said, it's a good start. But so we also then have to think, you know, we have to have a different focus. Vocational training for our rural youth. So why don't have a focus and really focus on those kind of things? I think even if they are still, there are vocational training that are coming up, are they at the level that that really create the skill set that we want? You know, are we really empowering the next generation, or sometimes it's just actually ticking the box? I have done my work. Sometimes it's just a matter of ticking on the box. Okay, that ticked, that ticked, that ticked. Okay, we seem to have done. It's like I have done a workshop. Maybe I'm planning to do a workshop. I did a training on the workshop, but have I really impacted the participants with the knowledge that they need to go and be able to do what was the workshop should have been all about? So that's the questions that we are asking. So are we providing the right skill set that actually needed for our market? So, and youth empowerment, it's very important to the president, and of course that fall into the other priority sector is then education and training. This is another big one. So the government is pushing for free higher education and vocation training by 2026. So there's a funding formula. Funding formula is in place, according to the president, and a minimum standard for university are being rolled out. Okay, so, but here's the concern, okay? And these are my concerns. So another concern that has been, you know, being expressed over the years. Namibia's education system has long struggled with quality. We have changed from this system to this system to this, you know, because of the quality of our education system. And I remember UNESCO, 2019 UNESCO's report say only 30% of grade 7, 30% of grade 7 learners were proficient in math. So there's, you know, free education is great. Free education is really great. And we should be proud for that. And we should, because not many, this is not happening in many countries. So, but we need better teachers. We need better curriculum. So, and we shouldn't just packing more kids into a broken system. Do you understand? So that's why we need a better curriculum. We need a better education systems so that when we are packing this kid into this system, So it is a good system, and it produced the kind of quality of skill set, as I said, and competence that we're looking for. So not just, you know, packing more and more and more in into a broken system. So that's a lot that we need to think about. And it takes time, but, you know, we need drastic, you know, measures sometimes. Desperate time need desperate measures. So, yeah. And she also talked about creative industries. This is also one of the priority sector. So creative industries, it's getting some laugh too now, you know. It's not something that has been spoken before. But I'm glad, really, that the president has really identified this as also a priority. So the president mentioned 16 international film productions and 8 local ones, creating 180 jobs and $14 million Namibian dollars. So a $10 million creative art fund is coming in August as well. And that's when it's something that hasn't been done much. So this is exciting because Namibia has got talent, and we need actually to upgrade, amplify this talent. And this is also a way to create job for youth that have interest in creative industry. So that have actually interest in these sectors. But what we also have to understand is that this shouldn't be just in one, kind of like a one-off project. So it shouldn't be just like a one-off project. So we need to look at this as an industry. Are we building a real industry, or is it just a one-off project? And then, you know, so where is the plan for music schools, for example, or a digital platform to promote local artists? So are we building a real industry here? So I think we have to think in that way. Even if we have to do it slow, you know, even if we have to start slow, rather than just doing one thing, boom, you know, as a once-off projects, but rather than build an industry that grows, even if it's very slowly. So let's think more broadly and also not just, you know, reacting. So because we could be reactionary as well to the situations. And as I said, this is something that has been neglected over the years. And I'm glad that the president actually is placing some kind of priority. It's become a priority sector in our development. So then health and social welfare. So that's another sector. And this one sees also progress. 7 new clinics are planned about new 7. Katutura Health Centers is now 24/7. They opened 24/7. There were 36 ambulances were distributed. So a pharmaceutical plant and in some towns in Kahanja is now in the works. So this you know, we see there was progress. There are progress. Okay. So, and we need to see which are very vital, you know, vital progress in certain aspect. And it's very critical. It's critical. So it's also critical that, you know, rural Namibian often, we understand that rural Namibians often travel hours for healthcare. So, but think of the president also mentioned about, only about 604 medical position advertised. So, which also we have to think really, many health facilities lack doctors. So I think we need to address the doctor shortage because that's something that that's needed urgently. So at least at some clinic in the rural area, we have always have doctors. Most of those only have nurses, you know, and people always have to travel long distances to major towns for doctors. And that transport, you know, and normally they, and sometimes they come to the hospital. You come to Oshakati Hospital, State Hospital, or Njoki State, and you queue up and you don't get service and you go back and you come back tomorrow again. Eh? So I think that is something that even before we're looking at some digital things that the minister think, that shortages of doctors, it need to be addressed, even if we have to get actually some doctors, as we used to get some doctors from Cuba or from. So it's something that we need to really to address. And also she spoke about, finally, land, housing, sanitations. So over 3,400 houses, units are under construction, according to her. 31 informal settlements are being formalized, and sanitation is improved with 1,119 new toilets that across the country. So, and Namibian urban population grew 49% from 2021 to 2011 per NSA, and sex, this is where, are everywhere. So sex are, you know, mushrooming, you know, and are popping up everywhere. So by formalizing settlements, I think it takes years, but are we moving fast enough? That's the question. Are we moving fast enough to house our growing cities? That's the question. Are we moving fast enough? So, and then when you look at the economic enablers, looking at now three, this is now the engine room now. So looking at the 3 months, now let's talk about the economic enablers. So the sector that are meant to drive the growth. These are sectors now that are now meant to drive the growth. What happened during these 3 months? And what are the plans? Mining is a big focus, with plans actually for local equity. So she talked about local equity in a new ventures and mineral beneficiation. So that means if we're going to have a new mine coming up, the local equity become very important, and mineral beneficiation, those becomes very, very, very important. So, and we know Namibia is we are really a mining giant. Think about uranium, think about diamond. So, the thing is that most profit from this big mine, uranium and diamond, go overseas. Most profit actually go overseas. So, and if you remember the 2022 report for the Chamber of Mines, we have about, you know, the mining contributed about 12% to GDP. So pushing for local ownership, I think that's a very smart thing to do. But the other thing also from the policy, there's no timeline for this policy. So she's talking about this policy, but there's no timeline. We need to know, we need to have the policy ready, and there must be some kind of a timeline. If we are really, really, really serious about keeping wealth here. So we need some a timeline when it comes to this policy. So we can't just leave it without a definite time. So she talked about energy. Energy is also one of the enabler, talk about a 20 megawatt solar project and a 120 megawatt more in the pipeline. And rural electrification is expanding, and a nuclear energy task force is forming with Namibia, and of course. So we meditating on a nuclear plant, and that's a, therefore that's why we also have now or forming a nuclear energy task force to look into this. So, which is actually a good thing. And also with Namibia, talk about our sunny climate. And when we talk about sunny climate, so definitely it makes sense. Renewables make a lot of sense. So, but if we, when we think about this, you know, the energy just goes up. The energy costs are still higher. So, NAMPOWER tariff rose at 8% in 2024. So, now, where is actually the plan, you know, all from these institutions, where is the plan to make electricity affordable for an average Oshoveli? Eh? Where is the plan? Where is the plan? So, those are things, those are questions that we need to ask. Eh? So, and of course, the oil and gas is the new kid on the block. And so the new kid on the block. So, but what the president said, a logistic base is being planned. Laws are being updated. So with discoveries in Orange Basins, this could be, I mean, we all know that this could be a game changer. But as we know from other countries also, but oil wealth can be also a cash, you know. So look at Angola, Angola's inequality. And are we ready? Remember yesterday we were talking about, that report by the NICCA. So are we ready to manage this boom without leaving rural Namibian behind? So are we ready? So, yeah. And then she talked about the other enabler is the economic enabler is tourism. And it's shining. Tourism is shining. It's shining. The visa on arrival system generated about 171 million Namibian dollar. From 115,807 visas. So that's a win. And we should, and this is what I said, we should celebrate wins. That's a win. We should celebrate it. But, when you look at tourism sector now, the tourism sector just employed about 60% of Namibians. So as per 2023 NSA data. So, and also she mentioned the National Tourism Spatial Master Plan, which sounds nice, but will that create jobs in places, you know, like Kunene and not just in Windhoek? So those are things that we need to really, really digest. So, and also water, as we know, water is life. And 67 borehole contracts were awarded, with about 35 installed. So then also about, and then Oshakati treatment plants, it's up. This will be saving about 3 regions. So yeah, water scarcity. That's a really issue. And if you remember the 2019 drought, so, but with only about 52% of the boreholes done, are we really moving fast enough, you know, for our dry regions? So are we moving fast enough? That's the questions, you know? So, but we're doing something. Then she talked about fisheries, saw 6% increase in mock fish catch, supporting 2,214 jobs. Well, that's actually good for the coastal towns. Yeah, and but there are other issues. What about overfishing risk? That is, and where is now? The question is, where is the sustainability plan? So the sustainability plan, when it comes to, you know, to the fishing sector. So, and then transport and logistic, that's also another, enabler, which includes airport upgrades, new railway lines and roads. So Jose Akutako's expansion is in progress. There's also Kreuzberg, Tsumeb Railway coming up. So this could be, you know, boost. This could boost trade actually. So, but the question is also, are the rural road getting enough attention? Yesterday we talked about that. Well, when we're looking at the article that was looking at the, as I said, this article is like a pitch. It was a pitch to the South African investors. I said, well, we have all the good roads and we're proud of our good roads. And, but those good roads, they are good roads from the mining to the port. They are good roads from South Africa to bring the good to ourselves. But what about the road to the clinic in the rural village, in our rurals? So as I said, yeah, we can see here. So expansion is in progress when we see all this. So, but are rural roads getting enough attention? Are they getting enough attention? When water comes and things like that, we have, you know, clinic could be in the places where, you know, people won't be able to go there because of water. And when it rains, and we have seen this. Now, maybe the question that we're asking, what is actually missing? Okay? So from according to you, what is missing? What is missing from this vision? So after all that, what is missing from this big picture? Okay, the big picture that you see. So for me, I hear also David also talking about this. So for me, it's the money. What is missing is the money. The speech is full of ambitions. It's full of ambitions plan. But it doesn't say how we are going to pay for them. These ambitions, good ambition, and we should have them. All right? So we should have them, but it doesn't say how are we going to pay for them. And you know, our national budget is already higher. Excuse me. It's already higher. How are we funding all this? That's the question that I have. And remember, Namibia's debt to GDP ratio was 67%. It was 67% in 2024. 67 as per Bank of Namibia. So can we afford these ambitions? These ambitions without drowning more in debt? Can we? So the second is, what is missing is jobs. With a third of our people unemployed, we need a detailed plan for job creation. Detailed, not just broad ideas. Detailed. So NDP6 aims to industrialize, but where is the detailed plan for job creation and inequality? So the president is mentioned inclusivity. The president mentioned inclusivity, but how do we close that gap when it's come to inequality? How do we close that gap? We need to see that. For me, that detailed plan for job creation and how we can really close that gap. We need to see that. So in itself, the NDP6, it doesn't bring that. We still need that plan, and maybe we need something like Harambe Prosperity. So in that way, Harambe Prosperity have now, you know, exactly kind of what is that you need to do. Okay. So the other thing, I said, what is missing? We understand corruption is another ghost in the room. So that is the disease. So the speech talks governance, but there is no word on tackling corruption head on, you know. Remember the Fitzgerald scandals. Namibia wants accountability. We want accountability. Where is the plan to clean the house? We need to see that. Where is the plan? We need to see the plan to clean the house. Eh? So, yeah. So NDP6 is a bold vision. It got hard. When I say it got hard, because I'm thinking of the president himself. The president has got the heart. So it has got hard. It's focusing on the youth. It's focusing on health. It's focusing on housing. So the economic enablers could transform Namibia if it's done well, if it's done right. So if all these enablers are done right, it could transform Namibia. But the thing is that, and this is not being pessimistic, so we have had big promises before. And imagine where we are. So NDP5, remember, NDP5 aimed to escape. We were aimed to escape the middle income trap. Yet we are now in low middle income country. We are now low. So that's a reality check. You know, we are now a low middle income country. So that's a reality check. So the president first 3 months shows action. We have seen drought relief for 1.4 million people, which is actually good. We're seeing new clinics, youth funds. But this is a marathon. One thing that we have to understand, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So can we sustain this pace? So will rule on Namibia and see a real change? Or will Windhoek keep the spotlight as usual? So let's keep the government accountable. And you can also call in to tell what you think. So let's continue the conversation after this.
Every year, someone turns 18 years old. For all Namibian citizens who have just turned 18 years, now is your time to begin your voting journey. Just take the first and most important step to register as a voter. The supplementary registration of voters will take place from the 4th until the 19th of August 2025. This voter registration process will allow you to vote in the 2025 regional councils and local authority elections. Get involved. Step up for your right. Register to vote.
Well, just do that. It's your right to vote. So, as we said, we're going to give time and others to digest the NDP6 and then really start engaging, you know, certain sectors. Maybe focus just on one sector. So let's look at what is NDP3 NC, and get some people, the expert in those areas, to really digest for us. For now, we just give you the bigger picture. This is the bigger picture. And, so what are your thoughts? So does NDP6 speak to you? Does it speak to you? Are these priority hitting the mark in your community? Are they hitting the mark? Are they making, would they make a difference in your community? So this is on Namibia, and it is on us. It is really on us to make sure this plan don't just stay on the paper. All right. So that they, that's why I'm saying, let's keep the government accountable. Let's give those who are responsible accountable. So don't just, let's not just sit on our rail end and think, okay, let them do. No. It's, as I said, this is our own Namibia. This is our Namibia. And your precious, you know, if it's something is precious to you, you don't just, you know, let anybody, you know, do with it as she or he wants. No, you take responsibility. So let's, as citizens, let's take responsibility and make sure the plans, as I said, they don't just stay on the paper. It's something that we can see in our lives. So because policies and plans should be translated into real changes in our life. That's why they're there, is to help, you know, transform our life. And we let make sure that they do that. So our telephone number is 08. What is your impression? Not just your impression, what's your reaction yesterday? You probably were listening, or we highlight from early morning scoop. We highlighted, you know, what the president said. David did that as well. So I look at some, especially focusing on the priority areas, the priority sectors, and the economic enablers, and what the presidents have said they have achieved in these 3 months, and what are the plan they had. So what is your reaction? What is your reaction on that? Our telephone number, 08-333-66-091. 08-666-091. So you may as well react. You can react on what I said on this, and also what might David have said earlier on in the early morning scoop. 08-333-66-091. So give us a call and give us your reaction of the NDP6 and this 3 months of the new administrations in government.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Very good morning. A very good morning to you. And if you're just joining us at this point in time, our time is 50 minutes past 8. And this is Unpacking the Day, live from Ondangwa Studio, coming to you from Eagle FM radio station. So my name is Mike Oshovelli, and I'm with you every morning from 7:30 to the hour of 9:30. So unpacking what is making headlines, trends, and numbers that we can look at. So, good morning to you. And if you have been around, so thanks for still sticking around. And so there are still a few things that we can look at. So there's a critical, there's a report by the African Development Bank, really focusing on Namibia, focusing on Namibia physical risk, okay? And it's actually a compliment. It's complementary to what we have talked so far. So that as we talk about this is what we're going to do, these are our ambitions, this is our plan, I want us to look at the report. The report is saying, but you have to be careful about your spending. You have to be careful about this and this and this. And that's why I bring it in here, just to see that as much as this is our ambitions, so there are other challenges that we, or there are other issues that we need to make sure that we take care of, or we consider as we move forward in these 5 years to implement our NDP 6. So let's get into that. So this is the African Development Bank 2025 country focus report on Namibia. So the FDB, this Africa Development Bank, is basically waving a red flag. It's waving a red flag for us. Okay? They are saying, while things look really, things they are improving on the surface. They also say, well, things are improving. On the surface, we can see that things are improving. There's some kind of, there's an improvement. Namibia has got some serious underlying problem that could derail our long-term development. Now, this NDP 6, you know, so there are serious underlying problems. This is now the FDB, so the African Development Bank, saying, it's not me, all right? I'm just, as we said, we're here, we unpack, we bring to you what are the people are saying, and you make up your own mind. Well, with our opinion on it, and also our contribution as well. So, but you make up your mind. So let's look at those, shall we? And first of all, the African Development is worried about our spending habit. Okay? Let's be specific. They are worrying about our spending habit. They point out that our government has been spending using what they call an expansionary, counter-cyclical fiscal policy. For those of us who are not finance, it sounds fancy, right? So, but what it really means is we are spending more than we are bringing in. So that's all what it means. So we are spending more than what we're bringing in. So, and leading to bigger deficit and mound of debt. All right. So that's one thing that they're really worried that our spending habit. So that, now, the report says our fiscal deficit is down to 2.8% of the GDP. Okay, that sounds decent, isn't it? But here's the concern of the FDB, the African Development Bank. Our public debt is big. Eh? Is big debt. 67.6% of it is big. That is 67.6% of the GDP. We are way above our own target. What is our target? Our target is actually 35%. So we are away. So we're way above our own target. And even higher than the SADC ceiling. The SADC ceiling is about 60%. So that's the concern of the African Development Bank. Now, think about it this way, all right? So sometimes I give this some example, might be right, might not, you know. So imagine you have failed out your credit card. And you are still actually sweeping with your credit card. So that's basically what Namibia is doing according to the FDB, according to the African Development Bank. So now, all this money going? The questions are, where is this money going? So the FDB points out a really massive imbalance. Where does this all money go now? Okay? So a 92%, listen to this, a 92% of the budget goes to operation expenses. So those expenses running the government day-to-day's salaries, etc., you know, those things. So, and that's 92. Only 8%. Then it's only 8% is left for development project. Think about, now, I want you to think about the plan, the NDP6. And remember what the president have said as well. He said the wage bill is unsustainable. Now, when this is something that you have to, we really need to think. We really need to think. You have to think. If we spend about 92% of the budget goes to operational expenses, to running the government, day to day activities, paying the salaries and so on. 92. So where are we going to get? And that's the state. What is missing? You know, when I talk to you, I said, what is missing in the NDP6? It's the money. I ask, where are we going to get the money? So, if only 80% is left for development project, this is now the staff that we have in NDP that's supposed to build our future. So where is the balance here? And this is where now the African Development point out that there's a massive imbalance. And that's very, 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 very serious. It is very serious. And we'll continue after this commercial. Stay tuned.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
Because the U in UNAM is you. All right. So now, we're talking about that, the as I said, the African Development Bank points out that massive imbalance. That imbalance, my dear friend, is insane. It's insane. It's like buying a fancy car, but never having enough money now to build a road to drive on it. So you don't know, you can't build a road where you can now drive it on. You can't. So it is actually massive. We are spending all our money just to keep things running. And practically nothing on building a better Namibia for tomorrow. Because 8% is left for, that's all what left for development project. Have you seen our budget also? Both our operational budget and development budget. So that's the one concern that our spending, that the African Development Bank is concerned about. And we should be concerned about that. But we are also, when we're looking at, we somehow understand that because we talk about wastage. So we talk about cutting on wastage. We talk about, so those, it's very, 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 very important. If we can understand that, So that we have this, and in a sense, what is missing? It's money. Money is missing in that development plan. How are we, where are we going to get the money? How are we going to get the money? So let's have the plan. I'm not saying let's not have the plan. Let's have the plan, but where, but have we thought how we, where are we going to get the money? So let's talk about where the government gets its money. So tax revenue collection, okay? So that's where the government gets its money. So with tax revenue collection, that's relatively strong. It is relatively strong. It's about 19.7, you know, percent of the GDP. So that's good. That's really good. Now, the FDB, the developing bank, the African Development Bank, is worried about our reliance now on SACU revenues. So SACU, of course, is the Southern African Custom Union. So they send us the big chunk of our income. So about 30% of what the government gets. So, but the African Bank, the African Development Bank says SACU revenues is uncertain. So it is uncertain. In other words, we can't rely on it forever. So what happened if SACU revenue dries up? And we are then, so definitely then we are in big trouble. We would be in the big trouble. So we need to diversify our revenue streams. So the developing bank, the African Development, also points out how bad we are at making money outside of taxes, where non-tax revenue streams only contribute about 2%. It only contributes about 2% of GDP. So we got to do better. We really got to do better. And here is something that really, really grinds my greed. Eh? Here is something that really grinds my gears. I hope you understand what I'm talking about. Hopefully not. So, the Namibia Stock Exchange, that's huge. It is huge. It has a market cap about 10 times the size of our GDP. But according to the African Development Bank, it is underutilized. It is underutilized. Only 8 domestic companies are actually listed. So what is this, Namibians? What is this? You know, it's like having a Farrelly. You know, a Ferrari. You know, it's like having a Ferrari parked in your garage. But you are too scared to, you know, to take it out for a ride, for a spin. Eh? So we have this huge potential, but we are not using it to attract investment and grow our economy. So, and these are the aspect that the African Bank is actually talking about. And what about the backbone of our economy? What about the backbone of our, what is the backbone of our, the SMEs? So the African Development Bank says, and this is something that we know, that we say is here all the time. It says access to finance is still a major problem for them. So I'm glad there is a fund, the youth fund, what is called, I've just mentioned earlier on, there's a fund that, the money that are in are not enough, that would be able to, you know, to help entrepreneur youth. So finance is still a major problem for our SMEs. So small businesses can't get the loan they need to grow. And definitely that becomes, these vicious circles that people talk about. So this is the backbone of our economy, but they can't get access to finance. And because they can't get finance, they cannot grow their business. They cannot grow their, you know, innovation and whatever. And that lead to higher unemployment and inequality. So because the poor still remain, you know, they still remain, you know, and then the richer, they want, they have a collateral and all that, get the money from the bank, you know, from these institutions, financial institutions. So, and then that gap grow, the inequality still grow. So that's what the African Bank, the African Development Bank is saying, you know, way that access to finance is still a major problem. And we have to address that. So according to the National Statistics Agency, so we know the figure of unemployment and our coefficients, Gini coefficient, which measures income inequality, shows we are still one of the most unequal countries in the world. Eh? And these SMEs create jobs. They can help to fight inequality. But they need access to funding. They need access to funding. So what is the Africa Development Bank solution? Is what is their solution? So they said a comprehensive strategy. Those are words that are used, but what do they mean? So comprehensive strategy to diversify the economy. All right? That means investing in our resource revenues in other sectors, our resource revenues into other sectors. So like manufacturing and more also in tourism maybe. So it means supporting young entrepreneurs and SMEs. That has to become a reality. So it means fixing our financial sector. We need to fix that financial sector. So please, Ms. President. So what the Africa Development Bank also acknowledged some progress, like the Financial Technology Regulatory Center, excuse me, Sandbox and Green Bond Insurances. So, but point out that the lack of post-trading infrastructure is really hindering foreign investment, which is not good at all. So, and finally, the African development stresses human capital development. And which is also, those are emphasis. This is not new, something that even our president is actually, you know, hammering on. Human capital development, we need to invest in skill development, vocational training, access to finance for small businesses. So empowering our young people is the only way to build a truly a resilient economy. So that's the only way. That's the only way to build, you know, a true resilient economy. So now look, the African Development Report is not just some dry economic document. Some of us are not even economists, you know, but we need to read. But it's a reminder. It's a really reminder that we can't keep going doing the same thing. We can't keep going down the same path. So it's all good. And this is where this whole things of NDP6, we can't just go, you know, that's what the president said. It shouldn't be business as usual. It shouldn't be business as usual. Good morning.
Sorry, my brother, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
I'm all right, man.
You're a little bit far.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now, yeah.
Okay, sorry. I just doing it now when you are in the UK, when I'm somewhere in the academy doing something. Yeah, I turn on the radio.
Yeah.
I can hear you properly. But in Katutu, I don't know. With the radio on, just, I'm telling you, I can even, if I even turn it on now, you can see, you can hear yourself.
In some way, academic, doing something.
You see?
There's on the radio.
But I don't know why is the frequency in Katutu, is there something else?
Yeah, those are technical. Well, as we had to find out from the technical people what is going on. So, yeah.
That's like a discrimination, man.
Yeah.
In town.
Imagine.
In town, everyone can listen, but they,
imagine you have to drive to town to listen to Eagle FM.
So, that's the thing now.
No, just have the app. That's probably the best way. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, my brother, when I talk about capital development, when it comes to special or women's soldiers.
Yeah.
I think that is a way we are failing, especially when it comes to African countries and mostly Namibian. I'm telling you, we don't do much.
Yeah.
We can send them to school, whatever, but anyway, it's like we are investing something and we are supposed to have, expecting the results, but yeah. It never come through, or yeah. Even to return off. When you're investing, at least your profit must grow.
Yeah.
So and that profit never come.
I think sometimes I tend to think that there is an institution of higher learning are left to design their own curriculum based on what would be the faculties that, or maybe subjects to people, rather than actually looking at the country. This has to work together with even when we're talking about NDP6, it has to work with this kind of like, where are we moving?
Exactly. You see, my point is that, you know, the education which we're having, not even talking to the current situation which you are living in.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm telling you, my friend, how many times I cry about you, like, no, guys.
Let's have a quick commercial, and then we can come back. Yeah. Just a quick one. Mm.
The Electoral Commission of Namibia provides an opportunity for all eligible voters who did not register in the previous voter registration process. The supplementary registration of voters will take place from the 4th until the 19th of August 2025. This will allow all eligible Namibian citizens to participate in the 2025 Regional Council and Local Authority elections. If you are an 18 years or older Namibian citizen without a valid voter's card, and if you are able to identify yourself, then don't miss this opportunity to register as a voter. Democracy thrives through participation. Get involved, step up, and register to vote.
All right.
Yeah. You know, my brother, the thing is that if you look at the current situation which we are living in, and you look at our education which you are being offered, it's totally different. You know, you remember the other time I was talking about even that, you know, if you go to VTC today, they are still doing the same thing. And I was there for 10 years ago. But if you go there, teachers have been taught the same way, which we've been taught. But if you look even the plumbing these days, the standard unit, it's totally different. You're talking about a new birth which is coming, you don't need anymore to build the wall around the bathroom or the shower. It's totally different. Even the kids are totally different than now they come with their children. What? But go there to VTC. You see, they are still having that that model of teaching people the old way for Jesus.
Yeah.
To install Jesus. But these things are totally different. You go there and check the engine they are replacing.
Yeah.
It's for pistol. But now we are talking about even people are having 13, 18, you name it, 12 valve, you name it, so many. So serious, our education is really slow moving.
Yeah.
And when you look at even like things like air condition, now people are coming up with a new technology, the way they are using even sometimes they use what? IT guys to insert it. But we're still having that old method of doing things.
Yeah.
But seriously, even though when you are talking about the way of funding support is available, Now you have people who are bank-funded in locality who doesn't even have knowledge of business. And you have VTC graduated who doesn't know how to fill the what VAT form. Is that how we're supposed to be? No, we're supposed to be educated when it comes to doing business. Because why NAPTA they can do it? Why our public VTC cannot do it the same?
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, we are totally different. If you take me, I can be even like in having a level 4 or 5. But a person who is in, from NAPTA, who's having even a level 2, is totally different. We are comparing to public. It's what I'm saying. We are sidelining a lot of things when you come even to public school. We are totally, because I'm telling you, go to now, check the kids. I don't want to miss a school, but just a private school. You take a grade 3, then you take a grade 5 from public school. Total, I'm telling you, do you even wonder if we are living in the same what country? Exactly. It's totally different. Because now we have people who are board member who doesn't understand anything. Instead of taking a board member, you know that Waleng is already involved in what? Media. Why you cannot be a board member at the NAST when people are studying media? Why? Now, that's a problem I think we have. Because now we have people who are just escalated everywhere, but doesn't know nothing at all. Doesn't have a background, but it become a board member of something. You make people even, like now, our industry is not talking to the OBTC the way we're supposed to be. Job market.
And the other thing is, when you're talking about board, how often are board members actually hold responsible?
That is the question.
Yeah.
Because we don't have any policy where if they mess up, they can be holded accountability. Nothing.
Yeah.
They mess up here, then you see, once they mess up at the Trans Summit, you find them at MBC. After MBC, it can even hold like what? 10 position.
Yeah.
But you can see, and it's not available every time.
Yeah, and this is the same thing I said earlier on. I was talking in terms of what the president said, what they have achieved and said, and talked about corruption in the sense that if you don't have really a specific, really clear policy about that, in terms of if this is what happened, this is going to happen. So you leave a kind of like an open to interpretation.
Yeah.
And whenever it's open to interpretation, yeah. And whenever it's open to interpretation, is that, well, you know, this person understand it this way, and we have so many people that are let off, you know.
I'm telling you,
they leave. Whether it's and my boss at one point actually mentioned that those, like, corruption is actually a treason. He's all mentioned that, but it's like someone who was actually on the project. So imagine that the project cost million, and then they just left without the project finish. You don't hear anything.
Nothing at all.
They don't hold. They are not hold.
The same person you see tomorrow is getting another tender again.
Yeah, and imagine that project is given to another person, to another project, and then sometimes it might not even finish. And exactly. three persons actually working on the same project, and I'm nothing done. They just take money away and they're gone. Take money away and gone.
The good example is a big one, my friend.
Yeah.
How many people have been involved in that saga? But nothing happened to them up to now.
Yeah.
Nothing. And there are so many. Even this Havana Road.
Yeah.
If you see that company, Ochemusa Road, it's still constructing. But nothing happened to them. And now you are telling us you only wanted to do corruption, which is happening currently now. But what about the others? The policy is supposed to be there that once you mess up here, my friend, this is a consequence you are going to face. Because now, we are crying even like, you know, there are too many people are killing each other and what. But do you know how many people have been killed because of the project which is not finished?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of families supposed to be what? To get a bread from to the table, but because of you, they end up not getting that. And the project, I mean, the future generation is in the saga because of you. But we don't see that. That is a treason, really. Corruption is a treason. It's not really like a, the way we are thinking, people have become celebrity in front of the page every day.
Yeah.
No, they support the consequence. And you can see that once it's happening, nobody is going to do to repeat the same mistake because
yeah.
they see the example was taken to others who did it. But if you are just having a talking and no corruption is going to end, but you don't have a policy, nothing is going to happen. We will talk up to, until 2050 with you are talking about final ties.
Mm.
I don't think so because we are just talking up to now. There's no remuneration.
There's
then
something
you are doing the job.
There's something the African, I was now talking about this specific report by the African Bank, the African Development Bank, and the focus is specifically on Namibia.
Yeah.
So when they highlight the massive imbalance, they said 92% of the budget goes to the operational expenses that are running the government day to day and salaries and so on. And it only 8% is left for development project. Now, think of this. And I look at this and I think, seriously, if you think, now when you're talking about 8%, you're actually now talking the NDP.
I'm telling you.
Now you're talking NDP.
80%.
Yeah. Now you come up with all these ambitions, but you only have 80% of actually of implementing this massive, you know, projects and ambitions.
So many.
Yeah. But
the moment you touch it, health, the education is needed. The education when you touch there, there's a railway supposed to be what to be done. You see, that's. This is a thing which I'm saying, our country really. And, you know, in that 92%, we are talking about expenditure for government in Brazil and so on.
Yeah.
There are a lot of, ghost salaries
yeah.
are going. Because up to now, I'm telling you, go to the Minister of Veteran Affairs, or what do you call it, a veteran, this ex-combatant.
Yeah.
Even people are dead long time, they are still getting their salary. And then now you find even go to defense is the same. Go to Minister of Education is the same. And then you wonder how we are going to tackle the corruption if these things are still happening.
But you know one
thing,
this is one thing I was arguing at one point, you know.
Yeah.
I said, like, there was when the Veteran Affair was a ministry on its own. And
yeah.
I was saying, look, when you create a ministry, in that now you must, a lot of money goes into people who are not veteran, who are in the ministry.
Ministry itself.
You know? So why don't you just this money, imagine how much money actually these people get on a monthly basis, that who are not veterans.
I'm telling you.
And that money hasn't really even gone to the veteran yet. The budget is for the veterans, but it goes to the people that...
Hundreds
of people that are not veterans.
That's why, my friend, you will find that, like, how a billion or what? I mean, I think it's 3 billion or something going to the veterans. Then wondering why the people are still complaining that they didn't get their projects.
Yeah, exactly.
If it is a lot of money involved.
And that's why I said, why don't you just have a program? You have a veteran programs. You know, and this whole money, it goes there, and it goes directly. Many problem about the veteran could have been solved.
Exactly. You know? Long time.
Yeah. So this money that are pumped into here, it goes to this program specifically, a program specifically for veterans. You know, rather than actually have the ministry where you are paying so many people which have nothing to do with actually with the veterans.
And the maker, you know, Michael, the problem is that once we have a government is always learning to the what? Investing in, like now, veterans, and they don't get return. What do you think are you going to get the next money if there's nothing, there's no return?
Yeah.
They're supposed to invest in, you know, people are talking about mall, people are talking about even school, which are not there. What about you take money from the veteran? You invest in school where people are going to retain that money. Because now, once you invest in school, then we're having teachers who are unemployed to get the opportunity. that money actually to become even a taxpayer of money to recirculate it back again. But once you give it away, it doesn't come back.
Yeah, but that's also a responsibility of the government to provide social services. Yeah,
it will become a budget, exactly.
But, yeah, but the thing is that you have mining, you have mine, and you have this is where you can get your money now that you reinvested, that you're investing
in schools. Even Olongo, they are trying to sell. What about you put money that for veteran, you invest in Olongo? I mean,
yeah. So this
CIPF money.
Yeah, this project, this investment that are coming in are the one that you actually then have a better deals that would give you enough resources to invest, to invest in your education, to invest in your hospital, to invest in your in your services. So
I'm telling you.
Man.
I think our country, really, and our leaders, I don't know. Sometimes I don't know who advising them, but seriously, sometimes we are just from the, laymen who are just like looking at what is happening. Sometimes you just wonder, Kuta, we have people who are saying they are educated, and you have people who cannot just think a simple thing. Why should we say I'm going to the north? Why should I have to go? Let me say I'm going to Skango. Why should I have to drive all the way to go to Orundu instead to come to, instead of going me to go direct to Skango?
Yeah.
And this is what is our country doing. Because we have to go to all the way to Katima to divert, and then we go to find a way to go to Skango. It's what is happening. With our education, everything is what we are doing. How long have we been complaining about our national team playing in South Africa? Now we find a way to shift to Botswana, Kamis nearby, Freetown. And that is money. How many people are Namibian people are going to leave their money in Botswana now? If you are taking 4 or 7 days to go and watch our national team playing there. How many men who are selling fat kickers are supposed to benefit that money?
Yeah, it takes drivers. Yeah.
That money is not supposed to be circulating in the country. It's what I'm saying. We are supposed to have a policy. Well, you say, no, my friend, if this, you are not going to fix this stadium for 12 months, there's a consequence. Either you leave because you are incompetent, or there must be something happening to you.
The other things that you have to is certain things that we ignore, and I think sometimes we ignore that these imbalances that African Bank, African Development Bank is saying, these massive imbalances, we ignore that. We just think it's percentage in terms of, 95. We hear now people who can listen to me and say, and you just said 92% of budget goes to operation expenses. And people don't pick it up. They don't pick it up that we actually don't have money to do any other things that develop the country.
I'm telling you, nothing. Just imagine 80% you are running the. You want to create a project and so on.
And it tells. And it tells. Thing, it tells because you can see that there are massive people. There are unemployment. It's because there are no money to create employment, to create those opportunities, and there are no infrastructure that's being actually developed. That you can see, you can tell that this is actually true.
Mike, if these things are happening in Windhoek, where the capital cities, where there's a more part of the money circulating a lot of when come to, before even money go to the channel of what? Corner to corner. Where you see the people are even, I'm telling normal people, waking up like 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock, go to the suburb to find just cans. My friends, collecting cans and so on.
Yeah.
Yes, you think these are productive people. We're supposed to have a factory day, producing something. You know, a lot of things are supposed to happen. But I'm telling you, not even a toilet paper factory in window. Just imagine. Do you want to tell me that we are really, really learning in our country?
Yeah.
Where you don't have even a local shop. The local shop are going. Yeah. We have a learning group now here who are taking over even tax shop. In Katutura or suburb, everywhere, they are everywhere now.
Yeah.
And now we have a government who's having money saying only people who are interested, like those one who are at the GIPF, they can claim their pension. But you are failing to invest in youth. who can bring up new idea to create jobs for others.
Yeah.
What are you telling us?
All right.
It's an issue, my friend. Yeah, the moment even the contender which I'm hearing here is a problem already for Namula.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, my brother.
No, thanks for coming through, man.
All right.
All right.
Yes. Well, that's bring us to the end of our show for Unpacking the Day this morning. So let's do that again tomorrow. So he mentioned, okay, let me not bring it to you. We will know tomorrow. So, all right. So that bring us to the end. And I wish you a good listening to the programs that are coming up. And Mind the Gap is on the line. It's on the Oirikepaya. So Mind the Gap Oirikepaya Paife Teirandurakom. So that's what is coming. So Mind the Gap with Helmut. And from me, Michael Chavelli, I wish you a very good day. And until tomorrow, at the same time, on the same frequency here on Eagle FM. So goodbye for now.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo chikawa shafasana na longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika seisa nina omayaguro nirandisoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House ngwe tuende pime meha uka kombanga nina kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu moambo dengira selma onara hita tuimu datundatu heari hamano tano oniyaji Eagle FM the eye
no matter